Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You're listening to Fitzy and Hart on Boston Sports Original, WEEI.
He's really the perfect Patriots type coach. Former player. He loves football. Like, this is a guy who absolutely loves football. Is a total football tape nerd, history football nerd. Like, this is a guy who lives and breathes it, which is literally perfect for the New England Patriots. And, you know, I don't know why it's like this, but whenever there's a defensive coach hired, all anyone talks about is like, all right, well, who's their coordinator going to be? We don't do the opposite when an offensive coach is hired. We don't go, well, they got to get the defense right. But we do it in this case. So in this instance, it does seem like Gerard Mayo got it right. I mean, we focus a lot on, like, who's actually calling the plays. Alex Van Pelt was intricately involved in setting up, designing, and implementing this Browns offense. He is an excellent quarterback tutor, and the fact that he's going to have a heavy hand in the future franchise quarterback for the Patriots, very important in New England.
Andy's favorite follow, Ian Rappaport, the rap sheet from NFL Network and NFL Media, speaking on the Insiders the other day with Judy Batista about the Patriots hiring, from out of nowhere, Alex Van Pelt, the Pitt graduate, former 11-year journeyman NFL quarterback, 16 tutties, 24 picks. Still made the pros, so that's not bad. And longtime broadcaster, quarterback's coach, and offensive coordinator, the last couple of years working in Cleveland with Coach Kevin Stefanski. He was dismissed after the Browns got waxed by the Houston Texans in the wild card round this past January. This is hour number two of your fellas from the Six Rings podcast. Nick Fitzy Stevens and Andy Jumbo Hart coming at you on the Fitzy and Hart program here on Boston Sports Original WEEI. Give us a shout if you want to talk Pats, Sox, Celtics, whatever's been on the table. It's all up for grabs at 617-779-7937. Andy, we'd been talking for a long time about who the coordinator would be. Would it possibly be Josh? Would they go back to an old, comfortable, familiar name that was available once again? Or would Josh follow Bill? Obviously, if he was going to follow Bill, it would be to the grocery store, to dinner, or maybe to a golf simulator, because it would not be to coaching another NFL team right now, as Bill Belichick has been left out of this coaching cycle, and we'll get to that a little bit later. Didn't seem like it was going to be McDaniels, but his name was out there, and a lot of people didn't want him to come back, even though he's a smart guy and a hell of a coordinator and a good QB coach, because it was too familiar. So let's go new. Let's go with one of those young whippersnappers, the guys that wear the fancy clothes and the tight pants and, you know, super fit and look like they could be out there. The wunderkinds who do a great job of mixing in Madden with analytics and new wave offense and lots of motion. Somebody who has worked with, gotten coffee for, or at least talked for more than 30 minutes with Mike McDaniel, Kyle Shanahan, or Sean McVay. Hell, the Patriots seem to be so Sean McVay enamored, they hired a special teams coach who sort of looks like the Madame Tussauds wax version of Sean McVay. They interview 11, that's right, 11 people are spoken to in person or via the Zoom about the Patriots offensive coordinator position. And then a 12th steps in and he has an immediate second interview. And out of nowhere, when we think we're going to be hearing about maybe Getsy from Chicago. And let me tell you, I have some friends that are Bears fans and they say, man, did you guys dodge a bullet with that one? This guy stinks. I think it's going to be old pal Nick Caley, who you'd been championing for some time, former tight ends coach with the Patriots, who did the same thing for the Rams after he left the Patriots following the 2022 season. Could it be Kubiak, Clint Kubiak, the son of Gary Kubiak, who has worked with the 49ers for some time? Looks like he's headed. Where's he headed to now, Andy? Is he going to?
Oh, I don't know.
He's taking a job. He's going to be an offensive coordinator now. I forget exactly where, but nope, it's not going to be any of these youngsters. No fresh faces. Nothing that Patriots fans had worked themselves up into thinking was innovative, fresh, or new. It's well, I said retread. I think you disagree with that phrasing. It's someone who's been around before, but not anyone who people look to and say, let me tell you, it's the Alex Van Pelt style of offense that is the true next vision, the next version of where the NFL is going offensively. To many, he seems like a safety school of a choice, seems just like an easy selection. Some may think, okay, well, at least getting a guy with a high floor who's worked with quarterbacks, who himself played quarterback in college and in the pros for over a decade, that could be good, very good, when you've got such a pivotal draft coming and you know you need a future quarterback. But then there are others, Andy, who might say, oh, God, did we just go with some like veteran play caller who's worked with quarterbacks just so the Patriots could have like someone who's not going to be great but also not terrible, like a comfort fit who may be in charge of, egads, fixing Mac Jones?
I think they have a coach who said yes to the job and yes to the salary.
Andy, can I tell you something terrible that I don't think you or the rest of the audience want to hear? I heard from a pretty good, I cannot confirm it. I cannot confirm it, so this is not officially a report, but I heard from a pretty decent secondhand source that he may have been the only one who said yes to the job.
No, I mean, they had other candidates who I believe wanted more money. And money, and I think some may have even asked for more money because they thought the job wasn't very good, but they're like, if I ask for a lot of money and get it, I win, because even if the job sucks, I'm inflating my bank account for the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. No, this happened on Thursday night. I was on with Rich. I felt horrible about it then. I thought it was
I heard you guys the go worst. Bananas.
It's a terrible hire, and I have yet to hear anyone. Crapsheet said a lot of stupid words in that report. None of them were valuable. The best I've heard about Alex Van Pelt is he's a great guy. Great guy in the room, so to speak, of coaches. Mm-hmm. He's glue on the coaching staff. Not a play caller. He hasn't really called plays. That's the unknown right. That other people were talking about with some of the young Nick Cayley types or whatever. Well, that's an issue with this. I think he's a journeyman QB coach. I think that's how I would describe him. Journeyman QB coach turned offensive coordinator. Now, the one way they could actually salvage it for me, I don't know if it would salvage it for other people, is if you tell me Josh McDaniels is the assistant head coach offense, and this is going to be some McDaniels-Van Pelt marriage. And that McDaniels will also be sort of that sounding board for Mayo on head coaching matters, sounding board for Van Pelt on play calling matters. Mm-hmm. Other than that, and I know some people have kind of tried to paint him as like a QB whisperer, and he's a QB guy. I don't really know who his grand pupil, guys that he did a great job with. Like, there was a Baker Mayfield year where, yeah, he had an uptick, and then they moved on from him. He was with Aaron Rodgers, but Aaron Rodgers was already a Super Bowl champion and MVP at that point. I know he liked him, but he certainly didn't create Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, one of the most talented quarterbacks that's ever walked the planet or a football field. I don't know what the selling point is, and I'm not trying to be dramatically negative here. I don't know. And we took calls. I tried to get a bunch of people to tell me why this was a good hire, because everybody's like, oh, this is the perfect fit, like Crapsheet. Okay, why? Oh, well, because he's nice guy. Nice guy.
Everyone likes him. Said a great hang. He buys the first round.
Right. I in the column I wrote about this, I likened it to, you know, you're a divorcee, and you know somebody sets you up with another divorcee, and you're like, well, so what am I getting here with this date? And they're like, well, she nice girl, great personality. And
she really just, you know, like, she's amenable to whatever you want to order, splits every app.
Right. I'm not excited about this. I could not be less. This is Red Sox level lack of excitement for me, the Alex Van Pelt hire.
Now, would that column you're referring to be get off my lawn and take Alex Van Pelt with you?
Yes.
Could
exactly.
you steer any more into the boomer lane than even by using our favorite phrase in the freaking title of your article,
yep.
guy?
Yep. That. Hey, I'm just calling it like I see it.
Get off my lawn, you whippersnappers.
Okay, so, Andy, seriously, like, do we really believe that the New England Patriots at this point... At this point, do we really believe that the Patriots are hiring somebody because he said yes to the
yeah.
dress
yep.
and because he was willing to work for less? So he said yes to the dress and was willing to work for less, as opposed to someone else who's like, well, if you're bringing me in, I'm going to bring in my system, going to change things up. I'm going to need some more money. I'm going to need you to spend on the players. And they were like, whoa, hold on a second. Hold on. Or did they go with somebody that they honestly believe can both fix Mac and prepare the quarterback of the future? Because there's a chance that's the fundamental belief here. And I believe, what was the, believe it or not, we know each other so well at this point. You sent me one of your tweets earlier today for show prep. I had it in the Google Doc an hour and a half before. Don't worry about it. From today, this is from at Jumbo Hart at 9:30 a.m. this morning. From today on The Athletic, that would be the publication, owned by the New York Times. From today on The Athletic, regarding the hashtag Patriots GM job, this is not what I'm looking for. Quote, if it's Wolf, that would be Elliot Wolf, if it's Wolf running the show, expect the Patriots to give a long, hard look at drafting a left tackle with the number 3 pick. Boy, you, as Patriots personality, and media man, could not have heard anything worse from Van Pelt all the way up to The Athletic report this morning.
Oh, my God. If this next month, 2 months, is they hire Alex Van Pelt and then they draft Joe Alt or Fashanu or one of these tackles, I mean, you took what should be a fun, intriguing offseason filled with draft picks and money and change and hope and just crapped all over it, because it couldn't get any worse from a Patriot fan perspective. And if you look in the responses, by the way, to my tweet, a lot of fans feel the same way. There was one guy who said, just kill me. You can choose the way. I don't care.
Real quick, Andy, before we trend, I want to get one Celtics call out of the way before we continue with the Patriots Six Rings Power Hour here. Kevin is in Brookline, wants to weigh in quickly on the Celtics. What up, Kev?
Hey, boys, how are you doing? Great to hear your voices today.
Thank you.
A couple of things on the Celtics. One, it's kind of hard to rag on the Celtics since they have the best record in the association. While the main sport that you guys love, the Patriots, are a raging dumpster fire, and the Red Sox are right behind them. I wouldn't get too overly concerned about the Celtics. I've been to every single game this year, longtime season ticket holder. It was the loss to the Lakers was a bad loss, not as bad as the Clippers loss. It was kind of set up. They had played 4 games in 6 nights, and they had absolutely no legs. And, you know, in basketball, if you have no legs, you have no chance. And their schedule has been really, really hard. And they got overextended. You know, you don't want to blame Joe. Well, Joe could have put some of those games away earlier in the week when they were playing inferior teams and kept it out. I mean, minutes down for Brown and Tatum. But he didn't do it. So I think the biggest fit we should all have with our Celtics is the coach. He is undoubtedly their weakest link. I love Charles Barkley. But I don't buy for a second that this team is not tough. Tatum is a solid player, top 5 player in the league, does it day in, day out. But they're not a concern in this town. I mean, we all know the question is. The Patriots don't have a general manager, and that's maybe why no one wants to take any of the, you know, jobs below them. Usually the org chart works from the top down. Well, it seems like we're working from the equipment manager up with this group. And they're a dumpster fire. There's no way around it. No one even talks about the general manager. Everyone's worried about the offensive coordinator. Shouldn't be, I mean, you guys tell me, shouldn't the conversation be about who is running this show? I mean, I've got to hear your response.
Yeah, you're 1,000% right, Kevin. I appreciate the call. Thanks very much, buddy. We have all reacted to and found the very notion of the Patriots heading into this offseason without having named a general manager to be strange, unique, odd, kind of uncomfortable for some and many. And the fact that they went ahead and hired the head coach and then named an offensive and defensive and special teams coordinator without a general manager's input tells you that the consortium of minds from ownership to some other people who may have had their positions elevated to the people that are still there from the Matt Groves to the Elliott Wolfs. This may be the brain trust that it may. I mean, it's funny. Gerard Mayo talked about how titles actually are important because they can empower people and folks will grow to they'll elevate to the title and then some. And it almost sort of seems like everyone else, like everyone has listened to that except for whoever is in charge of naming the next general manager. It's very strange that they would go about that without picking one. But those are good words from Kev on the Celtics. We'll continue this discussion in moments. 617-779-7937 is your number. Let's catch you up on everything else going on in the wide world of sports now with Joe Braverman.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Alex Van Pelt does a really good job at trying to make the most of what he's given to work with. And considering where the Patriots are as a franchise and what they're trying to develop at the quarterback position, I would say short term, AVP, absolutely the right guy for the job. Now, when you talk about play calling and things like that, it's hard to say because he was not given those opportunities here in Cleveland.
Daryl Ryder, the Cleveland Browns beat writer for sister station 92.3, the Fan out in Cleveland. Very familiar with and having followed and written about Alex Van Pelt for the last 4 years, where he served as an offensive assistant, QB coach, and of course, ultimately offensive coordinator, though he was not the one calling plays, as Daryl pointed out there. It was, in fact, head coach Kevin Stefanski who was doing the play calling. Kevin, of course, had been the offensive coordinator with the Minnesota Vikings some years ago before elevating to HC of the CBs a couple of years back. This is the Fitzy and Hart program. Give us a call, 617-779-7937, if you want to talk Patriots, Boston sports, and so much more. So by all accounts, Andy, this super unsexy pick, the terrible pick that you're calling it, the get-off-my-lawn pick, this low ceiling, middle floor of Alex Van Pelt, who knows what kind of offense he runs. You said basically this seems like the Patriots took a glorified quarterback's coach who has some offensive coordinator talents, but no real system experience, no dynamism to him, if you will, that this just seems like a, I called it a safety school pick in a lot of ways. But hear me out. Couldn't that be good for the Patriots, given what a mess the offense has been the last couple of years, if they have a competent professional who's good at grooming quarterbacks who at least won't make a mess of the situation? I guess I keep hearing like, well, it's a, he'll kind of do a West Coast offense. What does that mean anymore?
Yeah, I mean, he clearly has West Coast roots, and what you're right. I don't really care what that means. In terms of developing a quarterback, who's better at developing young quarterbacks, Alex Van Pelt or Josh McDaniels?
Probably, I would imagine Josh McDaniels, because that's kind of what he does. I mean, look at the success that's been had by, well, Tom Brady. That Garoppolo's played in the league for a long time. Brissett has held on. Now, Kevin O'Connell, who he loved, he took him, but then he went to Denver, so that's not really on him, but he's a head coach. Jacoby Brissett's still playing? Yeah, I mean.
Did you forget Mac? Mac's rookie year, where was he? I believe Mac finished his rookie year.
What about Matt Castle?
Grittying in the pro. That's my point. So we're everybody hates Josh McDaniels.
Damn it. Now, why did we hate on McDaniels?
Thank you. Everybody hates Josh McDaniels around here, and everybody's like, Alex Van Pelt, he's a quarterback guy. He can't hold Josh McDaniels jock at anything. Offensive coordinator, play caller, quarterback developer. He also, by the way, we were all giddy last year, and we were all wrong. We were all giddy when Bill O'Brien arrived because he was experienced and competent and all these things. So it doesn't mean anything when we are all one way or the other. If we all hate the Alex Van Pelt hire, maybe that means it's good because we all love the Billy O'Brien hire and it didn't work. It was terrible. But if we're going to compare resumes, track records, abilities that have been shown, then he can't hold Josh McDaniels jock or Bill O'Brien's jock. And I don't mean this to be disrespectful to him, but he is who he is. He's bounced around the NFL primarily as a QB coach with varying degrees of success and pupils and resumes, and I don't get the affinity. I mean, in a world where, I love to do the line from the previews of movies, in a world where offensive minds rise up the coaching ranks at a record rate, this guy has kind of had the same job, same MO, same spinning his wheels for like 15 years. Why is that? Is everybody dumb? Everybody around the league's dumb and they don't realize what a great offensive mind and guy this is? Or is he who he is? Like, had the league sort of seen him for what he is, and that's a quarterback's coach, an assistant coach, a glue guy in the coaching locker room, so to speak. People were pushing back at me on Twitter. Normally I agree with you, Andy, but you said McDaniels. I want no part of that. Why? He's got a far better track record as an offensive coach and an offensive coordinator and a QB developer than Alex Van Pelt.
Yeah, so it's just curious. Like, how
he took the job and he took the paycheck. That's the bottom line.
I hadn't even heard that he was interviewing with the Patriots. Like,
because he wasn't. I think they were going to hire Nick Cayley.
Last thing I heard from Andrew Callahan was Nick Cayley was far and away.
He was the first
like
finalist.
He had the spot.
Yeah, right? And you know what he wanted? My guess? Money. My guess is he wanted to be
paid. How much more money did Nick Cayley want? I mean, wouldn't he also just, if you're going to be a first-time play caller in the NFL.
Ben Johnson wanted $15 million to be a head coach. Those were the rumors. I don't know if it's actually true. You know what Jim Harbaugh got? 16. Like, he wanted to be in Jim Harbaugh land. He wanted to be knocking on the door of, like, Pete Carroll land in terms of paycheck. So maybe some of these young coaches are asking for more than they, and if Ben Johnson's asking for 16 to be a head, 15 to be a head coach, well, I don't think it's crazy if Nick Cayley says, well, I want to be paid like a good offensive coordinator, even though I've never done the job.
But if you haven't earned it, then why, how would you be able to command it? Like, you've never done it before.
Also, I believe
these are the questions we're supposed to ask.
I also think there's a chance. And so there's been this cloud hanging over this job, reports. It's not very attractive from afar, and candidates don't love the structure, and they're not sure who the quarterback's going to be, and there's no weapons. I wonder if some of these candidates, let's just say Nick Cayley, and let's just say, I don't know, one of these Fleurys, Theo Fleury, whatever the hell the Fleury guy's name is. It's not Theo Fleury. It's something else. Brian Fleury, I think.
Think he's the tight ends coach for the Niners. Yeah.
Yes. Let's just say they look at the job and they go, there's a lot of chicken you know what there, and I'm not sure I'm going to be able to make chicken salad. I would ask for more money, for stability. If I don't really want the job, if the job in and of itself isn't overly attractive, don't you ask for more money so that you win in the end either way? If you succeed, okay, well, I made money and I'm well on my way to being a head coach. If you fail, well, at least I got money in the bank now. But if you just take it at a low salary because maybe they're selling you on, hey, there's only 32 of these jobs in the world, you know, and we're offering one of them to you, and I know it doesn't look great, but there's only 32 of them. Well, maybe have a little more self-respect or just say, yeah, there'll be other jobs that come along. So I personally push back on that. I think this should be an attractive job. You're getting in on the ground floor of a startup. You have the potential to hit the jackpot with a quarterback, receivers. You're going to have a voice in picking a new offensive right. line. Like, if you have confidence in your ability to coach, and if you trust Mayo, you have to trust Mayo. You have to hit that off personally, right, with Mayo. If you mm-hmm. trust Mayo and you have confidence in your own abilities and you truly believe this is going to be a collaborative effort in New England where your voice will be heard as the QB expert, my voice will be heard, I think this is a good job because I think you're going to have the opportunity to start with a clean slate and build your program.
Couldn't agree more. I don't understand the notion of no one around the league wants the Patriots job, and this is the most undesirable post in the NFL right now. Why? I don't get it. Do people around the league know a couple of things that we don't, vis-a-vis Andy, that the Patriots aren't going to pay very much, that there's going to be too many chefs in the kitchen, too many people spoiling the broth, if you will, yep. in the forms of Crafts or Wolfs or Glazers or I don't know. I'm not saying that we know anything. I'm just saying all the different names that have been bandied about in terms yep. of new roles on the team. Is everyone afraid that any move you try to make is going to be met with, well, we got to run that one up the old flagpole, the old executive chain of command.
Put a pin in it and we'll circle back around on that idea.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, Andy, good synergy at today's offensive brain trust. Oh, God.
Could you get that report to me by EOD?
Oh, and also, you know, yeah, exactly. LMK, what you can do at EOD, and also GFY. I wouldn't be able to handle that.
What kind of office are you two working at?
It's a different place.
I work from the home office mostly.
Yeah. Does it sound like it? There's two of us going, hey, Joe, you know what? Get off my lawn, all right?
I will say, though, I was at a place the other day with some friends. Then they were talking about they had to get their self-review or whatever they call those things. And I was like, thank God we don't have those. And by the way, if you're listening, Ken Lear, we don't need those.
Yes.
Self-reviews are one of the most useless, time-wasting, stress-causing things on the planet.
Yeah, what do you think I'm going to say? Doing a spectacular.
I'm killing it. I deserve a 40% raise.
No one has quiet quit better while impressing people along the way than this guy. I want to give it a chance, but at the same time, I understand why it is not sexy. There's no dynamic to it. I truly don't know exactly what kind of offense he calls, what he favors. Again, like I push back like, well, the whole West Coast thing. But at least he's done it. But maybe there was a fear. Maybe we could just sort of throw this out there and we'll get to you, the callers on EEI, in just a second. But maybe there was an internal fear. Maybe there was something. Maybe Mayo wanted to sort of like go to market, if you will, get a feel for what some of the new guys thought, what some of the new guys wanted to implement before maybe falling back on, you know what? I don't know if I want to go with one of these new. Just give me a nice, safe, conservative car that gets decent mileage. I don't know if I want to do electric stuff. I don't want to, do a hybrid yep. or anything like that. Like, just give me a dependable beater. I know that's going to go for 12 years. That gets a lot of good reviews. There's nothing sexy about it. I just want to get from A to B. Maybe that's what Alex Van Pelt is. The A to B mobile that is a quality family ride, but. We'll see. Let's go to the calls, Andy. Jerome is in Scituate down by the water, wants to weigh in on Van Pelt and the Pats. Hi, Jerome.
Hey, how are you? Listen, Van Pelt, they had a pretty good offense in Cleveland, but one thing you guys are saying that you're wrong, I don't know if it's Fitzy or hot, but Kraft has not been a meddling owner. And between Mayo and Robert Kraft, they're pretty two pretty bright guys, and I trust these guys. Give them a break.
Who called Mayo? I mean, who called Kraft a meddling owner?
You get one of you guys. One of you guys said they're worried about coming here with everything being run up the flagpole.
Oh yeah, the power structure is very much in question. Can you tell me the power structure right now with the Patriots?
Yeah, we don't know who the GM is.
Well, or president. or like we don't know.
Yeah, but what Kraft doesn't interfere with anything, and maybe that's part of the problem. But Jesus, for heaven's sakes, Matt Patricia, you're putting him you're talking about what he AVB didn't do in Cleveland. What did Matt Patricia ever do on the offense?
Who brought up Matt Patricia was the worst hire in the history of football, and it got Bill Belichick fired.
Well, I mean, so that's a good starting point for Gerard Mayo. Then he can't do worse than Matt Patricia.
Oh, I think the second worst offensive coordinator hire in Patriots history just happened with Alex Van Pelt.
Oh, well, you think Cleveland was a bad offense last year?
He wasn't the coordinator. I mean, he was the coordinator in a titular sense, but the offense was run by the head coach, Kevin Stefanski, who fired this guy.
Well, I don't know. You can play names, games, titles, and whatever, but I'll take Mayo and Kraft any day. Look at all the businesses, not just football that Kraft has worked with. He's sick of what Belichick was doing the last 3 years. He's still the greatest coach in history. But damn, not the last 3 years he hasn't been.
I agree. 100%. We finally landed at a point we can agree upon. Bill has not been a good coach of late, and Robert has been a ridiculously successful businessman and football owner. He's hired three coaches. Two of them are Hall of Famers.
Before you go, let me tell you something. We have a little saying down here in Scituate on the water. Yeah. A lot of us fishermen use, and it's the devil you know is better than the devil you don't know. Okay, so just think about that.
You should spread that. I didn't know that was just in Scituate. I like it.
Yeah, you guys. Jerome, thanks for the call. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday and weekend, sir. That sort of plays into what I was thinking about the hire with Alex Van Pelt. There, it's more familiar. And right now, the Patriots, which maybe they just feel, maybe from Mayo to the Crafts, to Wolf, and everybody else. Anyone else involved in anything resembling football operations, football logistics, football decisions, and more, wanted something a little safer. That's why I said there could have been a process where he goes to market and talks to Kaley and talks to Getsy and talks to Kubiak. What are your visions? How do you implement? What could you do with Mac Jones if you had to resuscitate his career in his fourth year without picking up a fifth-year option? And then eventually, they may have just sort of settled on, you know what, let's just go with this guy for a couple of years. Let's hope that actually he gets the offense in gear and makes it fun again. And at the same time can, you know, make something out of Mac and while also working with the guy that we choose to draft. And I'll be very curious. We go back to that tweet from you earlier from that report from The Athletic that if Elliott Wolf is indeed the GM and he is the guy, you know, in charge, make the primary decision maker as far as personnel goes, and they go left tackle, then Alex Van Pelt is going to get a lower first round, second or third round quarterback project that he's going to have to develop for a while and work with and groom while he also tries to repair Mac or integrates a new offense for the New England Patriots into the hands and head of some veteran signal caller they may bring in this offseason. And I don't know if that would be Baker Mayfield. I will say this, if it's Van Pelt, and Mayfield's going to be looking for north of at least $30 million a season. I can't imagine that's the plan. If it is, you know what? May as well bring Mike Evans up here as well, and we'll just go for it.
That plan I kind of like. If you give me Baker Mayfield and Mike Evans, I've at least got some talent on the field that has some veteran experience. Like, okay, you're talking me into a little something. That because right now I couldn't think much less of this offense and where it's going with the Alex Van Pelt hire. And I'll leave you with this, Fitzy. I know we're coming up against it.
Yeah.
The most negative thing I've heard about this is a point I've heard before. It's a point I heard back when Matt Patricia was hired, which, again, was the worst hire in the history of football. It's, well, the one good thing about Alex Van Pelt that you wouldn't have had with Kaley and others is if they had success, they were going to be looking to become head coaches. Alex Van Pelt, it's very unlikely he's going to be considered for head coaching jobs in the future. Oh, that's a good thing? Yeah, that's a selling point that he's not,
this
no one's going to be
great
interested.
At calling offense. Can he put a whole team together? No, I would never trust him with a whole team. Okay, that means he's really fun. He's great around kids. Should I let him babysit him? No. 617-779-7937 is your telephone number. When Andy and I come back, more on the New England Patriots coordinator choices. And, hey, that previous head coach, what's he up to these days? Doesn't seem like it's going to be calling football, coaching football games this year. And that is still incredibly curious to us. We'll discuss Bill Belichick, Van Pelt, Mayo, the Patriots, and so much more. Mike Cadlick joins us at 2 with a Shrine Bowl and Senior Bowl update and more. It's Fitzy and Hart on EEI.
The devil you know is better than the devil you don't know.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, Andy, maybe this will put a smile on your face or that of one in many in Patriot Nation that are curious as to the sudden selection of Alex Van Pelt as the new OC of the NEP. A text from a buddy who is a long, long, long tenured tailgater for the New England Patriots, who I've had the chance to get to know and befriend over the past decade. Text me during the break. You guys are going to love him. He and his wife are awesome. And I write back, you're talking Alex Van Pelt. And he says, yes, a buddy in Buffalo who is a business owner near the stadium says everyone up there still loves him. They miss him. You guys are going to love him. Great guy and good football mind. Okay.
Well, that contrasts to a 401 text that says Van Pelt could just be the planned scapegoat for the inevitable outrage.
That is the most New England joke. Please give that the award. Tell him he gets a cookie or something. That's been the most Patriots fan text. Aha! We've already got our scapegoat for when this season goes down the crapper.
When, indeed. Yeah, no, I have no... it doesn't surprise me that you get a text that he's a great guy. I've heard nonstop he's a great guy. Haven't heard once that he's a great coach. That's the problem. Like, I think he's a... it seems clear, and I believe he has some family ties to New England. Wife might be from Maine, something like that.
Yeah.
If I'm remembering
correctly.
All right, there
we go.
So that's great. Can he coach? Does he have a scheme? Is he ready to call plays? Is he ready to make chicken salad? Because I'm pretty sure he's not going to have Willow Tree prepackaged chicken salad at his disposal. There's going to be some chicken you-know-what. And last year, there was chicken you-know-what that was made worse, right? Mm. Like the problems with the personnel and the talent were made worse by the scheme. They didn't overcome it. So he faces an uphill challenge. The one thing I will say that he doesn't face that Bill O'Brien faced is expectations. I don't think anybody has any high expectations for Alex Van Pelt and what he can do. So if he does have some success, like that one game in the playoffs when he called plays and they scored 28 points in the first quarter, if we get that Alex Van Pelt, damn it, I'll be happy.
Yeah, that would be tremendous as well.
Not gonna
see, I just don't get the lack of attraction to the job, like you pointed out earlier. You get to come in and you get to help in the selection of the quarterback process. The team has $80 million in cap room. You know it is desperate for some dynamic playmakers, and they need to draft, if not several, wide receivers. And the way that the offense sort of fell apart over the last two seasons leads you to believe that not a tear-down rebuild, but like a gut reno of the offense and the way things have been done on the score of the ball, side of the ball, have been done, need to take place. Why wouldn't you want to commit? Who wouldn't want to come in and have the chance to, like, you know, we were just joking about, like, well, he doesn't really have any head coach aspirations. Fine. Maybe one day he'll want to go to college, like the same way Charlie Weiss did, and that obviously didn't go that well for Charlie Weiss, but
no.
Maybe in the same way that Bill O'Brien wants to go back to college now as well. You know, Bill O'Brien was a pretty good head coach in the NFL as well for a while, but sometimes being a play caller is what people end up doing best. I'm going to continue to hold out hope for this, that, you know, cut to 9 months from now, or even, you know what, cut to 6 months from now, 7 months from now, we're on Media Hill. It's the you and me's and the Callahans and Giardis of the world all out there, all sunblocked up, chugging water, getting ready to do podcasts. And we say, hey, you know what? This offense looks pretty crisp. Moving the ball nicely. Hey, look at that guy. Look at that. Ooh, that guy can cut on a dime. Hey, that guy's got hands. I like the way things are moving.
Yeah,
maybe,
we'll
just
see.
Maybe.
I'll wait till October because last year there were a lot of positive reports coming out of training camp in the offense and
there
Bill
were?
O'Brien. Oh, God, yeah.
Well, there were some positive reports, but the
it
proof was
ton.
In the pudding behind the stadium, Andy. We watched it, and we were like, this is not
no,
good.
No, 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 no. That didn't happen until September. There was, go back and read the reports. It was, everybody was intrigued in the positivity that Bill O'Brien was bringing, the motions, the different things. It was, there was a lot of positive reviews. Now, I don't know how much of it was what we wanted to see and what we were actually seeing, but there was a, I mean, just think of the over zealous Mike Cadlicks of the world and Kevin Stones that thought Mike Gesicki was going to be a unicorn and you know all the things that they were going to be able to do with him. And it was all positivity. Everybody was talking positive about the Patriots offense in August. Didn't fall on its face until September.
So, and there were elements to the offense that actually looked pretty good, but then some of the same mistakes started rearing their head. And one thing I don't want to do is get back into the whole, you know, the Mark Daniels, excellent piece that Mark Daniels had this week in Mass Live on the true reasons behind the dissolution of Mac Jones's quarterback tenure as the starter with the Patriots and why that never lived up to be what we thought it could be after his excellent rookie season. It's a shame that it never came to be as well. And like you said, the worst decision ever in the Patriots organization, aside from letting Tom Brady go, which has long since been retired, was the hiring of Patricia. Maybe this will help reverse course on a lot of the damage that was done there. Speaking of the former coach who made many more excellent decisions before these last couple of years when turmoil and dysfunction seemed to set up permanent residency at one Patriot place, what was your initial reaction to Bill Belichick? What was your first thought? Like, wow, an NFL without Mike Vrabel as a head coach, but more importantly, no room for Bill Belichick. What the hell?
Yeah, I think I'm not as surprised as many. I'm a little surprised because he's still Bill Belichick and he wants to coach, and so I'm a little surprised. But you know, all along I've said his age is a problem. His age, and then combine that with his ego or reputation. That's a
and the
bad
baggage.
It's a bad mix. At the, you know, he's going to be 72. Do I want to turn things over to a 72-year-old and he's going to be the oldest coach in the history of the game and he's tough to work with and he wants it his way or the highway? It just didn't make a lot of sense, which is why I think now it's going to make so much sense when he takes over the Dallas Cowboys or the New York Jets in October. Because
the surprise comes for the fact that the rest of the league sees what we've seen for the past couple of years with everything you're saying, Andy.
Well, I mean, to some degree, yes, because I generally think people can be very stupid and impetuous. Excuse me. Tough for me to say. Shouldn't have said it. That they don't kind of dig deeper. They do the superficial dance and bring in Bill and then regret it later. But I actually think he could be saved from himself if he's offered a job in October with a Super Bowl ready team that's struggling out of the gates, because he can't clean house. He can't make personnel decisions. He'll just have to show up and coach. And I think show up and coach. Fitzy, you and I have talked about this on the Six Rings a lot. Show up and coach. If Bill Belichick is on the practice field, a meeting room, or a game sideline, he can still do the job as well as anybody. If you show up in October, that's pretty much all you can do. You can't make a bunch of changes because it's, you know, the treadmill's moving. You just got to jump on and try to run as fast as you can. I think that might help him and save him from himself.
I just noticed on the platform that we refer to as Twix that Zappy was trending. I found that to be kind of curious and a bit interesting. Zappy, but he has not been traded. He hasn't quit football. He hasn't demanded a trade or anything like that. Seems Bailey Zappe is trending for reasons that pertain to the Senior Bowl and the East-West Shrine Bowl and the idea of the Patriots. For some reason, conversations have broken out about the Patriots cleaning house and just taking a whole bunch of brand-new quarterbacks here and rebuilding the room on the whole. To get an idea as to who looked good, who shone brightest, and who... who stunk this week at the Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl and beyond? Let's bring aboard our buddy Mike Cadlick, our beat reporter from WEEI.com. He'll join us on the other side in just a couple minutes. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Hour number three of Fitzy and Hart coming your way.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.